Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. Welcome back to Whispering Hunties.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, wait a minute. Do I sound weird?
You do sound like you're very far away.
Let me see here. Oh, wait. Is this the side of the microphone I'm supposed to be facing?
Oh, my God. Are we like, we're like 40-something episodes in and we're just figuring out how to use our microphone?
Yeah, wow. They should really put directions on these things. Oh, wait. They probably did. Well, starting next week, folks, you're going to hear my voice a lot better, a lot more clear, a lot more warm, and that's what you deserve.
I mean, I think you get it right sometimes, though, because I definitely feel like I've heard this voice from you before, but now it's, I feel like now that we know how to replicate it, it's going to be consistent.
It's going to sound good the whole time.
Exactly. And if you have any complaints, questions, concerns, or comments, keep them to your damn self.
Yeah. And we're sensitive.
Yeah. And also, I don't care. Any.
Oh, I'm excited just to for how much better I'm going to sound. That's great.
I know. I'm so excited. But it's so good to see your face again. I'm so chipper chopper chapper. Because we're recording our podcast, and it is one of my favorite things to do every week. And last week, I had to do these intros by myself, and it was hilarious. By the time the first one was easy, but the second one I did, I was like, I am still in a room late at night talking to myself doing this intro. Because, of course, I didn't do the intro when I recorded the podcast. I just did it, like, when I was editing them, and then it was, like, 2 a.m. in the morning. My roommate's asleep. My other roommate's asleep, and I'm trying not to scream, but I'm, like, whispering into the microphone.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had to improvise a little bit, of course. I had some stuff going on, couldn't make it, but it also gave birth to what maybe is a new permanent segment with the little recap that I can do, which I thought was a lot of fun. The whole story.
The whole story. Yeah,
I think we're going to evolve that into the whole story.
The whole story. I love it. Listeners, we have been blessed with the whole story. You're going to get that on this episode. We're also going to hear from two amazing guests who are friends of the pod. Back again.
Back again.
We had them on separately, and so we brought them together because we like making connections among queers. Our first guest is actually Nick's friend. Did you get the summary that I sent?
No.
Okay. Well, while you're looking that up, I will tell you about my friend Jonathan Valdez, and then you can talk about Griffin Leeds.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay, great. So Jonathan Valdez is back. He's been a pop culture and fashion journalist / icon in NYC for over 10 years. I think this is actually his 11th anniversary of living here. His popular celebrity gossip and fashion website, Orange Juice and Biscuits, has allowed him to be official press here at Fashion Week for 10 seasons. Valdez has attended and covered numerous brand and industry events, as well as interviewed countless celebrities. He's been seen on Bravo, NBC, ABC, CBS, news programs nationwide, as well as outlets internationally discussing red carpet looks, runway, fashion, pop culture, and has been nominated for various awards. Jonathan has interviewed celebrities and people of note for various magazines and is also an Us Weekly fashion top cop and has been featured in the New York Post.
Wow.
He's a power professional queer, and we are all about it. Get into the podcast, get into everything that he writes, creates, and expresses himself upon.
Yeah, we are fully absquooched, and to be here for 11 years now, that's pretty crazy. Just days ago, I had my 8-year anniversary of being a Jersey City gal. So that's great. And yeah, so also on the show today, we have Griffin Leeds. who is an Indiana to Brooklyn transplant who writes and performs comedy around NYC and also gets back home and is able to do that sometimes when he can. And you can follow at Griffin Leeds on Insta, Twitter, and TikTok to see some of Griffin's past and present shenanigans, as well as updates on the live shows he'll be doing again post-pandemic. And he has a new show coming very soon on Zoom with his roommate, who's also a queer comic, and it's called Near, Far, Wherever You Are. And it's starting on Saturday, March
25th. Oh my God, so we have something new to look forward to in the new month. Oh. Oh, friends of the pod, just doing amazing things. So
we love to see it.
Yeah, get into the guests, get into what they're doing, get into this episode, because it's good, honey. So, as I like to say, this is Whispering Huntings. We're an intimate connection. So, grab a snack. Maybe start doing your favorite activity. Maybe start thinking about somebody. Namely me, and Nick, and Jonathan, and Griffin, and all the drag queens. And get into that whispering, hunties.
Enjoy.
Hunting.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Robos V Dinos or Twitter at Versus Robots. That is at VS Robots.
Oh my gosh, is that Jonathan and Griffin? Welcome back, guys.
Oh, hi. Who's knocking at our door?
Knock, knock.
I'm so glad that you guys are back with us today. I feel like this is just like a magical, happy day to have two people that we love on the pod that have been, you know, like, are you guys fans of Wendy Williams?
How you doing?
I'm not.
I think as middle Americans, we didn't have that exposure to Miss Williams.
Yeah,
it's okay. What? It's so okay.
She's nationally syndicated.
All I really know about her is the awful things she said about Beyonce. So,
okay. So I know that you guys have been raised by wolves, and that's okay.
Yeah,
not me.
That's how we do in Kansas. We're raised by animals.
Yeah. So those of us that have been raised in civilization, we just want to let you know that Wendy Williams is. I mean, she's life. She's like a Bible. You need to know every. Anyway, but what I'm trying to let you know is that Wendy Williams is really famous for saying "friend of the show." I mean, everyone says "friend of the show," but she has so many people come onto her show because she's the host and there's no one else. So she always says "friend of the show." So you guys are truly friend of the pod.
Oh yeah.
From way back, we thank you for your support and we're so glad to have you back on the pod with us today.
Yeah. When did we talk to y'all last? Do you recall?
I think I was like an episode or two before the finale for Kannada.
I think I came through the Hunty house in November, actually.
Yeah, House of Hunty. Mm-hmm. Very wonderful. Well, yeah, so it's been a nice little gap for both of you. And yes,
Nick is going by bold. I'm like, do you have these receipts? Like, do you have the exact dates of the topics that we discussed? Like,
yeah. I'm just trying to spotlight on how much we've all grown and changed and how our conversations about drag have evolved.
Mm. It's elevated.
It's elevated since then, yes.
The pod has elevated a lot, actually. So Griffin, what's new? Tell me about your life.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
You posted like the best little bit of stand-up. And I was like, I always knew that Griffin was funny, but like I really just want to go to like all your stand-up gigs and be like, Griffin.
Thank you. Yeah, I a Miss Life stand-up. I can't wait to do it in person once we're like and safely in person once you know the circumstances permit. Till then, you know, Zoom stuff is fun, and I think that there's positives of that that are worth leaning into during this time. But I was feeling some type of way missing like this. I had done this show a little over a year ago. And they recorded it. It was back in my hometown. They do this thing in Indianapolis, like a home for the holiday show. And it's always a fun, fun time. It was like my third consecutive year doing it. And this person like filmed it and did a really, really, really good, like great job. Like really the production quality is really good. And you're like, cool, 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 cool. Which was very funny. So that was in like December 2019, if you remember that ever existing. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna send this clip for like comedy festivals. It's gonna be great. And then pandemic happened. But I was like, I still got this video. I miss live stand up. I need to be pushing myself to put something out there, or whatever. And I've been so that video has been like on my like IGTV, but like the full video. But it's really hard to get our attention spans to watch like a whole like 10 or so minute set. So I was like, what if we just took like a little bite size? I've seen other people do that to success on social media. And yeah, people liked it. Did great on TikTok, which I'm trying to push myself to do more. And it was my first reel. Ironically, I was like, okay, the children are loving. I did like another little like snippet from that same set. And it was like, and like almost exact same content. Like it was like, it was about being versatile. And the second time around, people were like, no, thank you. I've ironically pigeonholed myself as the versatile gay comic.
You know what? I'm sorry, but like verse visibility is important. Needed.
We don't have it in the media.
Yeah.
We don't have it in the media. We don't have it in the community.
No one's talking about it.
Everything is heteronormative. Who's a top? Who's a bottom? Oh, being dominated. Like even in like the bear community, there's like the cubs and then like the chasers. Like everything is like one has the power. And then also, have you seen those guys with like the locks around their neck?
They're taken.
They're taken. Right.
A daddy or a master.
And somebody has a key.
I know, but that's also, it's very like yin and yang.
More than it being cute, sorry.
No, sorry. I have so many opinions about that. But like, but like all of these representations are yin and yang. And like, where is the verse visibility?
Yeah, it is interesting how like in, you know, a big part of what I love about being queer is not having to like fall within binaries about things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously if there's queer people who, that like the way they express themselves comfortably involves a binary, that's okay. Like, I mean, I'm still a cis male person, so I'm, you know, still ascribing to binaries in this way or that, but yeah, it is interesting how you know, I think people find comfort and structure in lots of different ways, and sometimes that includes binaries. But I love versatility in so many forms, interests and beyond. But I agree that we don't see it enough in media. The only thing I can think of on top of my head is that there was a scene that was great, and like I felt very like, I think as a queer person, felt very seen in The Other Two. May We See Her One Day, I believe on HBO Max it's coming, season two. The Comedy Central show season one, that was fantastic. There was a scene where the protagonist and the guy he was seeing, went to grab a slice of pizza, but then like they're both like unsure about eating it because they weren't sure who was going to, like, if they were like going to hook up later and who was going to be the bottom. If then I was like, okay, so they're both versatile then if they're like aren't sure about this. I also do think it's a little comedic, but they're like, oh wait, if I eat pizza,
a groundbreaking little scene,
right? I do love the in this world, like if you eat a slice of pizza you cannot bottom, because I don't know if that physiologically
that's
sounds
not true.
Correct to me. No. I was like, you can eat pizza and still like,
girl, just make sure you prep before many hours, and then there's like a window.
But we don't see it enough, so I gotta make sure people know about versatility.
I saw someone who's like a sex writer asking people on his Instagram to talk about maybe verse erasure, just like how it's not really a thing in the community. But I don't know why. I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because like I'm no expert on anything like that, but I have opinions. No. What, I guess, do people just think that like, oh, you're a bottom if you say your verse? Is that the stigma? Because, you know, people love to bottom shame in the community.
I think that's what it is. And then I think that if your verse, people think that you won't be able to top in the same way that a top would top because, you know.
You mean badly?
Yeah. like it's like you're
no,
like a sloppy.
I'm top shaming. I'm being part of the problem.
Yeah, you're like you're a sloppy seconds top. So like
I don't know, because I feel like there's so much depth to all of the community, right? And like it's also I find it annoying when I'm talking to someone on do you guys separate for those who are single, separate your dating apps from your hookup apps? So like if I'm on a dating app, like I don't really want to talk about that yet. Like mm-hmm. I need a little bit of like romance yeah. first. But some people treat all of the apps like it's, you know, the yeah. grinder.
Like it's yeah. grinder.
Like yeah. it's open season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've never had a dating app. I've only ever had Grindr. So.
Well, you know what? You know what? You've only ever been married as far as I'm concerned. So
I've never been married.
No, you're gay married.
unhappy.
You don't have a sugar daddy. If he wanted a sugar daddy.
He yeah. could have had a sugar daddy.
But... I am that type of girl.
So you guys, there's something I need to tell you.
Yes.
And it's I hope it doesn't change the way you feel about me, but I have this it's been something inside of me that I haven't really shared really openly, and I just think that I just think that you know you have to live your truth, and if I can't love myself, then how am I gonna love anybody else?
Amen.
You're in a safe space, you can share.
Okay. I'm Verse.
Wow.
Yes, congratulations. Yeah. She was sitting on a secret.
Oh my God. Somebody call Vanity Fair. Let's get a new cover.
Every now and then, sitting on that secret.
Misha, let's put yourself to Interview Magazine. I'll interview you about being Verse.
You know what? I'm actually also going to call Time. Time Magazine.
Oh,
okay. Time Magazine. I thought you meant Time Out.
This is too much
Verse exposure.
Too adult.
I felt like I was in the Interior Illusions lounge. Like I thought shit was about to go down.
he's like, cut. We need to talk about this. Yeah.
You gotta walk into the room first. You gotta
first.
First, bitch.
There are all these parallels in the human experience, and like when we talk about like bi erasure and like verse erasure, it's like, wow, all of these things are really just like parallel experiences where mm-hmm. where we're so trapped in a binary that we don't leave room for what's in between, and what's in between can be very magical and freeing and you know, like, and is more true to the actual human experience. Mm-hmm. So thank you for raising that through comedy.
Of course. You're so right though. Like straight people like can barely wrap their heads around the concept of bisexual people. Yeah, and then when you tell them that queer people can be versatile, they're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Like it blows their mind.
Yeah. Do you feel that queer people too also have an issue with bi people?
Oh, 1,000%. Oh, yeah. I think it's worse with straight people, but 1,000% there are also queer people, or I guess more specifically like gay and lesbian people mm-hmm. who also are like don't understand it.
That's true. That's not real.
Yeah. Which is so funny. It's like just do your, like people letting you do your thing. Like
isn't this the whole thing you went through in high school like and college and grade school and
oh my God. And
but
then
people
also,
love to not learn. Yeah.
Just do like the Gen Zs. They're all like, you know, just free flowing.
Yeah, they were born into a world on fire and they are why hate each other?
These Gen Zs are wild though. Like I don't even know what they are. Like this is like
they're
I mean,
all gender non-conforming and witches. That's a Gen Z right there.
But is it like they're like mad at millennials for killing the diamond industry, and like Gen Z's just like, oh, we don't believe in anything actually.
And they embrace the chaos.
Oh my God, I'm so dead. Okay, well, I'm really excited about these TikToks, these reels. You also have a Zoom show coming up.
Yeah, me and my roommate, I used to run a house show of like several years. Like while I lived here, I started this house show. It was so fun. I missed doing it so much. And there was You Host, which I was doing at the Rosemont. We did one sellout show. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. And then pandemic happened. And then for several years, I've been running this show at my living room called the Living Your Best Life Room, which will definitely both. I mean, if I can make You Host come back to the Rosemont, I don't know what their programming situation will be like, obviously, after this. But I'm in charge of my living room show, so it will be back right. with a vengeance once it's safe to bring people into my home. But in the meantime, my roommate, Alex Kennedy, she's also a queer comic, and we are doing a Zoom show. Yes. Called Near Far Wherever You Are, because again, there's positives of Zoom show, like there's, you know, so, like it's not the same of live stand-up comedy in a lot of ways, but there's still some great positives. And one of the cool things is that you really can have, like, I had done, she was running a different Zoom show and I was on her lineup, which was, the commute was easy, I just went from my bedroom to her bedroom, and gonna miss that when we go back to live shows and at bars across this great nation. But yeah. It is cool how you can, like I was in my apartment in Brooklyn, and like my sister and her husband were able to watch back at Indianapolis. I had a friend in Arizona who's able to watch. So, like, it's really cool how, like, and the lineup was like people in New York, people in LA, people, like, you can have people, you can, there's lots of cool things that come with Zoom comedy shows. So we're leading into the positives.
Oh my God.
Yes. And that'll be at the end of March, the last Saturday of March, 9 p.m. EST, so that the people on the West Coast can watch too.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm before this pandemic is over, which may be forever, but who knows, I'm going to try stand up. That's now my new goal. We were doing the podcasting thing. I'm gonna dive in. Jonathan, what is this Smarties photo shoot that you were doing? It is the cutest thing ever. Your nails look like everything. I don't know who these gays are, but I feel like I need to like follow them all. And I wish that I was part of this crew.
The Smarties gang.
Yeah.
The queer gang. So my friend Greg Litley has been a digital creator for a long time, many years. And I met him when I first moved here, 11 years ago, because I've been here since January 9th was my 11th year anniversary of New York City. Wow. So he's worked for Elite Models. He's worked for Revlon. He's worked for Kiehl's. Like, he's done projects with various different groups where he'll put photo shoots together, and he will gather talent for various projects. So he put together this Smarties thing that was it was like love, kind of spring Valentine's-y themed, although it wasn't technically a Valentine's theme, shoot. So he asked me to be a part of it with Aaron Reese and Marquise Neal, and it was fabulous. We had a fabulous, COVID tested free Kiki at a studio in Brooklyn, White Space Studios, and yeah, it was cute. And the set was, I felt like I was in like a 90s like kids commercial, and there was like balloons and there was candy and there was bright pastel colors. And yeah, and it's all up on, you can actually see a lot of the photos on orangejuiceandbiscuits.com, which, as you know, is my blog. So yes, and the fact that I was able to pull out all the talking points and remember everybody's name in the location, I was okay, girl.
Yeah, that's a serve.
Obviously, we introduced you already technically in the podcast, but like for the people who are crazy and don't know who you are, because they should, can you just give us a little tidbit about, oranges, Orange Juice and Biscuits? I love how on like the last time you were here, you told us about the origins of that, which was like so cool.
You got the exclusive.
We did get the exclusive, but just let us know a little bit about that. And then, If you want to give us some fashion police commentary, that would be good too.
Yes. So my name's Jonathan Valdez. I'm a pop culture and fashion expert, and you can find over 11 years of content on orangejuiceandbiscuits.com. And then I have a podcast, OJMB, the podcast powered by DNR Studios. So yeah, I just, kiki about pop culture, fashion, things that are happening in NYC. You get a lot of exclusives on OJMB, the podcast, because nowhere else do I really talk about my personal life, but I go into it on the podcast. So that's a good tidbit to have about dating and just like, any drams that happen in my life, like I go into it, and it's always a really fun time. And I'll have to have the Whispering Hunties on soon.
Oh my God!
But we're doing some. I guess you always get the tea, the exclusive. So it's right now it's a subscription pay podcast, and the full episodes will be subscription. But I'm going to be doing the Squeeze with OJMB, and we'll be putting 15-minute clips on the public websites to give people a little taste of that. So that's a Whispering Hunties exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ooh, well, thank you. It's very juicy.
Of course.
Well, I've just been living for the podcast. I can't believe you always have the most interesting people on it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, thank you.
Like, you know, obviously you had Lidley on your podcast.
Yes, Greg. Yeah, he's a friend of the show, as you were saying. Yes.
He's a friend of your show, which I love. I just love it when like two people like get along well, get to like hang out with a microphone and
yeah. No, it would be fun. Which for I guess, you guys to come on.
Which I guess is what's been going on with Clubhouse, because you've been in Clubhouse in some very power gay conversations, and I feel like I need to take notes. Like, so can you explain, because like I don't know anything about, can you explain like the lay of the land in Clubhouse and like how you make friends? Because yes, you seem to have all of them.
Yes. First of all, I love coming on your show because you do your research and you know, like I'm blown away. I'm like, girl, I didn't even know that about me, but thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Like, no, it's cool. It's awesome. So Clubhouse, are you on Clubhouse?
I joined recently. I joined recently. Immediately upon entering, this guy that I like kind of talked to was like, hey.
Yeah, sometimes you have to serve a block on Clubhouse, which I found out, because people creep out of nowhere. And it's like, we are not talking anywhere else. Why would I Clubhouse Kiki with you? So Clubhouse is a newer platform. It's only, yeah, I think it's been out for less than a year. And it's still by invitation only, because apparently it's still in beta. They're working out all of these kinks. Meanwhile, they still have millions and millions of users. I think they said that they outbeat like a like more people are on Clubhouse than like a certain county in California at this point. But it's still in beta testing. And so you go on there and you can do rooms. So if we wanted to do a Whispering Hunties room or an OJMB room, we could set up the room and like all four of us could sit on the panel and Kiki. And then people can listen in your audience and you can pull them up on stage, as they call it. And you can have a dialogue and a conversation. And there's all of these terminology. There's a lot of terminology.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And you can pull to refresh or PTR. And you say, I'm going in the PTR order. And yeah, I've met a lot of people on there that I wasn't even on their radar. So because of Clubhouse, I have been able to connect with a lot of producers and people in the industry who now follow me on Instagram. So I always called it the magic of Clubhouse, because for a while there, everyone was starting at zero. So there were people who had millions of followers on TikTok and Instagram and in Twitter, but on Clubhouse, everyone started at zero. So I was able to connect with a lot of really cool people.
Oh gosh, you got to get there before like everyone gets popular and the influencers are arise.
Yeah, ground level.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I've only heard about that and I didn't really know much about it.
So, do you need an invite?
That's
I can give you an invite.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we have invite. Do you need it? Let me know.
Is it... Is it addictive like other social media platforms, or is it like just like live shows? Is it more like Twitch?
It can be. So basically it's more like it's a panel discussion. Like if you were going to like a Comic-Con or something, like people have these rooms, but there's really great industry people, whether you're an artist or a real estate agent or a baker or a chef. Wow. You know, you can find anything in these panels. But the interesting thing is that there's Clubhouse, just like, you know, how there's like gay Twitter and black Twitter and all that stuff. There's Clubhouse after dark. So after a certain time, people literally change their profile photos to like naked nudes and like shirtless photos. And there's like moaning rooms where like there's moaning competitions where they give out money to your Cash App on like who makes the best like sex noises.
Oh, this sounds it's gonna be the new platform. Like,
is that like so basically Clubhouse is like Clubhouse After Dark is like OnlyFans, but just orally? You don't have to take your clothes off?
Yes, girl, because people are like, and people who are newer to the platform will like slowly text me and be like, girl, I was on last night and dot, dot, dot. And I was like, Clubhouse After Dark, girl. Yeah. I don't fuck around with it.
Oh, that's so funny.
But the thing is like you change your profile photo, but then your profile is the same. So people still know you're like the CEO of X, Y, and Z, on your hoe time. But for instance, like when Perez interviewed Lindsay Lohan on the platform, everyone started changing their photo to pictures of them and Lindsay if they'd met Lindsay. So it's
That's fun.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I feel like the gays do it better because as soon as I joined Clubhouse, like, I started to follow, like Jonathan, Perez, and, like, a bunch of other people. And immediately there was, like, a, you know, like, it's, like, finger to the pulse of what all the gays are talking about. They were talking about Britney, should she be freed? What's going on with this conservatorship? Mm-hmm. They had, like, a whole panel on it. Like, the gays are going to town, and this medium is kind of lit. I just don't have the time.
Oh, we love to talk.
Yeah. I'm going to give an hour to Clubhouse a week.
I like that. It can be addicting, but for me, it kind of got annoying because there's everyone thinks they're that girl on Clubhouse. And especially the earlier months, people were like, I'm a Clubhouse expert. I'm like, girl, this app is 5 months old. Like,
and calm it's in down. Beta. Yeah.
Everyone's an expert. So it has its goods and its bad like anything else. But I think that you can really make a niche, and it's a great way to get on the radar of people who didn't notice you, because a lot of times Instagram followings have been stagnant, but now people are seeing growth on their other platforms because they're meeting them in Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, well, that's great.
Do you know what is so funny? So when I wanted to join Clubhouse, I was like, how do I get an invite? Because this is like Raya. Because it's like, you need, you know what I mean? And then I was like, I told my roommate, I was like, I really want to join Clubhouse. And he's like, okay, hold up. Next day, invite. And I was like, how did you do that? And he was like,
don't ask questions.
Yeah.
You're in, aren't you?
You're a listener like that for the podcast. He was in my group on Facebook, and I was like, I'm doing this thing on Clubhouse. And there were people like, girl, how do I get an invite? 5 minutes later, this guy Ryan pops up, and I was like, you're that girl I always knew you were. Like, popping up with the Clubhouse invite.
I know. But now that you have some people on the inside, just let us know and we'll hook you up. Okay.
Yeah.
So guys, last week Nick couldn't be here, and he summarized the episode in his absence with all of his goops, gags, and gaggles. And it was so amazing. We thought we'd bring it back to the pod on a permanent basis. Oh. So this is now Nick's residency. So
I finally got one.
I know, right? So this week on Drag Race UK...
The question no longer remains. Tia Coffey has been poured down the drain and sent home. Ooh, the fur is flying when asked who's in danger next. That's for podcasters to decide, not your fellow contestants. And I agree with Lawrence. I miss Veronica, too. The 3D glasses had a weird emphasis put on them. Overall, it was a very strong reading challenge, but Sister definitely crushed. Ahura is actually hilarious, and I'm liking her more and more with those little sneaky snake moves. Bimini Bon Boolash is on the struggle bus, but then... Raja is here. Love her to pieces. She looks absolutely stunning. I love guest workroom walkthroughs. Wow, say that 10 times fast. Aw, Ellie is starting to shine. Shine bright tonight. She's beautiful, like diamonds in the sky. Someone tell Tace that she is not allowed to use her own blood as a material for the design challenge. Lawrence and Sister are having a deep conversation on bullying, and Lawrence is crying. I swear, if Lawrence goes home, I will gag myself inside out. Aww. Runways. Tace is coming in hot with a bronze vagina and not much else. Lawrence looks great. Excellent look, but I don't think I got what her powers were. Ahura looks amazing. So good. The shoulder control was a slay, and I'm pretty sure it's my favorite look. I'm not loving Bimini's look at all, and I had a hard time spotting many materials. Ellie crushed this look. She is looking incredible. Say what you want, but she has a strength for polish. And as a card-carrying plant daddy, I really wanted to be obsessed with Sister's look. I applaud her bold choices, but it was still a little jarring to clash balloon shapes with realistic plant parts and just, like, glue them to a brown bag. In the untuck, Sister came for Ellie and got sent right back. And I agree. You get to launch a few bombs if everybody says your name and then you crush. Yay, Ahura! She won! Lip sync. I don't think Lawrence was truly bottom three because the gap between her and the bottom two was vast. Anyway, here we are and it makes sense. At the start, I'm rooting for Tace and she's serving it harder. She deserved to win and we'll see Sister later on. Great exit too. She had nice little exit lines. The winner, in my book, is still going to be Lawrence Chaney. And that's the whole story.
Snap, 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 snap. Okay, see, when you get like that little download, I feel like it gets you right. It gets you in the moment. You know what you are. You know what you're talking about. Like all the good bits are just like ready, like, you know, lips, teeth, and the tongue, you know.
It's very reminiscent of Here's What You Missed on Glee. Recaps that they would do before episodes.
And that's what you missed on Glee.
On Glee. Yeah.
They had like the
ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then they would like do like quick talking of like everything that you need to know before writing the next episode. That's what it reminded me of.
So I have had this idea in the past, because my drag altered ego is Gloria Hole, and I was having this fun idea about if I wanted to make some sort of like news show, kind of like Seth Meyers Closer Look, but it's a drag queen's take on world events and things like that, and it would be called The Whole Story. So I've kind of thought about turning that into like kind of like a news recap type thing, but it could,
just
for the sake of the pod, it could be The Whole Story, but it's just about Drag Race.
Stealing that. Thank
and
you.
And that's The Whole Story.
Yes.
Sounds it's like been a newscast type thing.
I love that. No,
can you just say
good.
That once, please?
Oh, sure. And that's The Whole Story.
Thank you. Money. all right. So, okay. So, obviously, thank you for enlightening us, blah, blah, blah. But, like, let's get into it. I love how at the beginning of this episode, Sister and Ellie are called out point blank, period. They're like, honey, why are you here? We don't understand. You don't have a repeater badge. Like, I'm sorry, but like literally someone said, can I help you pack your bags?
I feel like at this stage, like they know it, the audience knows it, that like, I think that ever since we were given the gift of the United King dolls is like, oh, this is pretty much definitely our top four. And it just has become more and more crystallized as we proceed. We're like, with the start of that episode, like them again, calling it, hey, you two don't have any badges. Obviously like Ellie came really, really close and was like, if Ellie doesn't get one, it's gonna be really hard for her to stick around.
Yeah.
And she didn't. So it's like, I think our top four is the United King dolls. Only thing I can think of is, since next week is the stand-up challenge, which does throw some queens for a loop, is that maybe one of the United King dolls might struggle and find himself in the bottom and sit home. But like Lawrence hopefully can be a funny stand-up comic. We've seen Ahura be funny. We've seen Bimini be funny. Taze has very funny talking heads. I could see her maybe struggling with the stand-up thing because she, I think, sometimes gets preoccupied by pretty. But unless Ellie can really, really pull out a stand-up act.
Yeah. Ellie is not funny. Not funny. Oh, I mean, like, totally honestly, like, the reading challenge is... So the reading challenge in Snatch Game separates like the sheep from the wolves, right? And we had the reading challenge and I was so confused because I was like, didn't we already do a reading challenge? But when you have like two concurrent seasons, like you like the challenges all blur together. So I was like, oh, okay, I didn't realize that I was expecting another reading challenge, but now we have one. And then I was like, who's bitter? Who's not funny? and who doesn't even understand what a reading challenge is? Like, that's basically what happened. And Ellie was not funny.
I think they prepared. I could tell that they prepared, but it was like, yeah, you maybe didn't look like they prepared because it didn't go off that well for some of them.
Like, Taze was not funny, even though that's Arconia comment was fabulous. Ellie's Arconia.
That was her best. Yeah, that was her best.
She just didn't phrase it well. I feel like she's like shady, but like, anyway. But then Sister was just mad. Like, the toxic energy of that reading session was palpable. I feel bad. We've been mean to Sister. She's great. Okay? Teeth and all.
Well, I was going to say that I find it interesting. I feel that the UK Drag Race is allowed to be a little bit bitier than the US fans allow it to be. Like the whole thing with the H&M dress that Rue said, like, I don't think she would be allowed to say that. And then just hearing some of the things that you guys are saying, guys and gals, and however you identify, are saying that they can't say that because the fandom in the US doesn't allow it. So do you find that the other foreign UK or the other foreign drag races are kind of reminiscent of the earlier US seasons?
Yeah,
I think they have that vibe in a lot of ways, in a lot of refreshing ways that are kind of more positive in my opinion. But in things like that, RuPaul can get away with something like that much more than American fan base. Because American fan base is like violent.
Well, I think there's a difference, kind of different reverence for Rue in America, because it's like 13 seasons in and the girls really understand like what the experience is and blah, blah, blah. But like in the very early seasons, there were a couple of times where RuPaul did kind of lose her temper, especially when, I don't know, I think it was the first season. If you watch the first season reunion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Tammy Brown, Chanel, and one other drag queen were all like really pissed at Rue and Santino and all the judges being like, how dare you judge us? We are drag queens, like blah, blah, blah. This is not the art form. Mm. And Rue is basically being like, we're not trying to change you. We're trying to help you elevate yourself so that you can be an international superstar. And if you don't get that, and also like what other people think about me is none of, I think that's where she has that famous like Rue monologue where she's like, what other people think about me is not none of my business. Anyway, but Rue lost her temper like multiple times, and like she rarely pops off. Mm-hmm. It's like her and Tyra rarely get like that mad.
Yeah.
Well, that whole thing with her, you know, being mad, and I think it was like season 10 or 11 or something where they were, or no, 10, maybe 9, where they were like, careful, don't say that. The fans are going to think you're mean. Like they were, to see it go from, they're very conscious of what the fans are saying. And mm-hmm. I think it's gotten a little bit less now, especially with this current season. And I know you're talking about UK, sorry, but I just thought the duality of what they're allowed to do over there versus here is interesting.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but also, you know, there's a different kind of sense of humor in each country, right? Like British mm-hmm. humor, British people are very blunt. Mm-hmm.
But they'll say it in a whole sentence. Like,
yeah.
It's not polite because they're like being rude, but the way their humor and their jabs get at each other, it just seems more like a story mm-hmm. rather than a quick rude thing or a, this is who I am, I'm loud and mean.
Yeah.
Which is very American, I feel like.
And honestly, like, I think it was this moment of like, we know that like in order to come back to film, they had to come back, all get tested 3 times a week or whatever, and sit in a hotel room by themselves. I mean, I'm sure Rue had her cell phone and whatnot, but like still you have to go and like sit by yourself in a room. So I think it was like to come back after 7 months to this thing and mm-hmm. then see that, you know, that one of the queens had just kind of like bought a dress mm-hmm. was like frustrating because mm-hmm. and I also think Rue was hungry. If you notice, she lost like 20 pounds between the previous episode and that one.
Oh my God.
So she was starved. She had been socially isolated, and she mm-hmm. came back and she saw this cheap dress, and she was like, oh hell no.
Yeah, you could like mm-hmm. see it in her eyes.
But she's like, I did not just like quarantine for 2 weeks and go through all of these like meetings, like pulling out her hair, figuring out how to make this happen for someone to be on the main stage in H&M. It's like, I get it. And I, one thing we'll also say to Rue's credit, because you know, Rue's a very complicated person with good and bad and gray areas and whatever, but I really appreciated how after she did pop off, that when they came back to the stage, she did a kind of like apologize and like take accountability, like take ownership of the fact that she knows she's not only like that, and like how she's like, you know, maybe me being isolated for 2 weeks and all that jazz, and her even saying like, listen, this is because this is Drag Race, this is a yeah. huge platform, and this is why I care about it for your guys' sake. Like you said, Mijan, so similar to like the Tyra, like when I, you know, when my mother yells at me, it's because she loves me sort of yeah. moment. And I just think I was very taken aback and very happy that someone of Rue's stature can take ownership for something like that, because a lot of other public figures would not be like, hey, sorry, I like came on so strong there.
Yeah,
she didn't right. have to do that, and she did. Yeah. I was like, that was, I appreciated that.
She has the wherewithal to like bring it back together. Also, can I give you this exclusive, which is not really exclusive, but it's something that people rarely freaking talk about, and we need to give this like more life. Rue doesn't own the rights, the drilling rights to the land that they own in wherever the ranch is.
The fracking.
So mm-hmm. so people have been criticizing Rue for fracking on Rue's land, but actually the way that the laws are written, you don't own the rights. You don't own the mineral rights to land that you own.
Oh.
So did they?
Mijan, the mineral lawyer over
yeah,
here.
They didn't get Rue's approval, though.
I think I don't know if the government owns it or whatever, but whoever contracts out the mineral rights to that land, if they do that, it is not up to the person that owns the land.
Oh, weird.
It's like, is it just like that with like things like oil or whatever? That like if we find those, you know, precious deposits on like residential property. Yeah, then freedom comes knocking, being like, hey, we need to commandeer this oil, essentially.
Yeah, everyone's been criticizing Brew for fracking, mineral rights, blah, 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 blah. But the thing that no one realizes is that it's not really up to the people that own the land as to who gets to frack where, because it is
that
so...
That would remove a major complaint against RuPaul culturally.
Listen, when the government wants to frack you, they're going to frack you.
Yeah, they're going to find a way.
Can you imagine? Okay.
Yeah, they're
okay.
going to tell RuPaul that RuPaul's a dictator and toppler. Yeah.
All right. So I want to clear the air, because Ru is just not giving it air because all these people are just like... You know, they're trolls and they're haters. But anyway, I just want to put this out into the ether. As Wyomingites are aware, RuPaul and his husband probably have no say over whether fracking occurs on their property. The rights to minerals under a given piece of land, including fossil fuels, are owned separately from surface rights. So when you own a farm, you just own the surface. Unless you own 100% of the fossil fuel rights under your land, and the vast majority of ranchers don't, you can't prohibit oil and gas development. You don't have a choice. So even if you own like an 18,000 acre ranch, the roads and the pipelines are dotted with oil wells, whether you want it to or not. So they could not say no to oil and gas development in the same way that any other rancher could not say no. So there's like a healthy tension between the people who own ranches and the oil industry, because you don't know what they're going to do.
Jeez, that's awful.
It's also like in New York City with air rights, like things above your building. If you don't own the air rights, things can go up. They can do things in that space. And also there's another term I forget, but I learned about it in like a government class. But it's, you know, if you're living in a house somewhere in a neighborhood and the government decides that they need that land, they'll just like be like, bye. So it's
they can rezone
like a freeway or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Rezone. And look at how many black and brown communities they've done that to.
Black and brown cities. Well, black and brown cities.
Eminent domain is what it's called.
Eminent domain.
Yeah.
Great drag name.
Well, I'm eminent domain. I was going to say thank you for telling us that, because I hadn't heard any update on that or anything. And that's useful information, because that is a very big RuPaul criticism. But RuPaul didn't know when you buy land, you have to buy, I guess, miles underneath it too.
Also, it's her husband's farm. But... it's her husband's farm.
Like, all right, not... so Mr. Charles the second. Second.
I don't
Mr.
think that's
Charles.
How getting the second added to your name works. But...
yeah. Anyway. It is not. It is
true.
Not.
Unless he married his child.
But you know,
have a new complaint about Rue.
You know who I have? I have a new nickname based on that comment. So we have Lawrence Chaney, the drag queen, and then we have Lawrence Chaney the second, who is Lawrence Chaney every time something goes wrong, and Lawrence is just like crying throughout the episode, because that's literally what we got this
it's
week.
A different Lawrence. Yeah.
Yes. I thought that this was like kind of uplifting, but I kind of heard it before, where it's like, I was a young gay and I was teased and blah, blah, blah. And then I used my humor as a shield. And I'm like, did I do that? I mean, maybe. Yeah, I used my social savvy as a shield. I was very, you know, personable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like some way to find a way to survive the torment we face. It's still at least good to get that story out, to get that experience out, because we haven't really had that from Lawrence yet quite so much. I mean, the last time that Lawrence was like emotional was, unless I'm totally misremembering, like that first episode, she didn't want to get out of her drag all the way because she didn't feel pretty, but that was like for 5 seconds and then never again.
I think we had another one not too long ago with Lawrence. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they have to hit with Drag Race UK, especially this season, they have to hit their tier quota. And I'm here for it.
Last week, everybody was crying.
Oh, over half of the remaining queens had cried the week before. And again,
in one episode.
But you know,
I was like, are they having three people sent home?
Right. Like, but here's the thing, like where we are in like the pandemic, like we're all white knuckling. And like, I honestly am loving the emotional, like I'm getting the catharsis from all of the cry. I'm like, I cry with them. I feel the release and some of that.
But
so
you know,
like,
it's
this, we're all in our feelings.
But what's also really funny is every time someone cries, RuPaul's like, good job. Look at how much stronger you are because you cried.
Yes, who's like, rewarding it.
Who's like, I need these tears.
Yeah. From Drag Race UK from the, is good TV. It is.
What was it? Heidi in Closet said, tears of a drag queen. Literally, that is what powers Drag Race.
That's an autobiography title.
We need to talk about this before we run out of time. Uhura's dress.
I screamed.
Those sleeves, when she flapped it out like a freaking peacock, mm-hmm. I was like, if they don't give her this win, I am going to tear like something. You know what I mean?
That was on a design challenge, boys mm-hmm. and girls. That was a design challenge.
It was so beautiful.
And she did that?
Yeah. Also, she didn't need the train. She could have just done the bikini mm-hmm. with the sleeves.
Yeah, I want to put that next to LaLarie's bags.
Wait, what? LaLarie?
I call LaLarie LaLarie.
LaLarie, no!
But I'm like totally kidding because I love LaLarie very
You're
much.
You're so rude.
Oh my God. But
put it right next to the pink and purple bags put on a corset.
Yeah.
That. Oh it's God. The same comment they said about Utica. She made that. In the same time, you made that.
Yeah. It was so good.
Can we talk about Ellie Diamond? Okay, she did a cotton candy bubblegum princess look, right? And when she walked on the runway, it did look so good. But
it didn't look like it was made of found materials. It was so good.
Yeah, but in my mind, Raja did that.
Oh, and for the design challenge. Yeah.
And Alaska did the same thing, copying
the candy
Raja. Yeah. And then now Ellie Diamond did it. So I was like, is this the cotton candy design challenge trifecta? Like, if you do that, is it like you win? You know what I mean? Like, people say, like, if you win Snatch Game, you win, you know, the season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm like, is this one of those things where if you bring a cotton mm-hmm. candy look, everyone's like, I love your drag.
Ellie Diamond hit the books. Was right. like, I'm gonna pull out some cotton candy realness.
I mean, it was amazing.
It was great.
She did a great job, I thought. And definitely the second best look of the night. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really strong and I thought it was very her. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say that my impression of Ellie has like improved. Like I'm seeing what she's going for and what her thing is. Mm-hmm. It's standing out. When at the beginning of the season, she felt like one of the many girls in this US season and the UK season where it's like mostly US, where it's like I can sense that they're hovering around their real drag identity, but they haven't like snatched it yet. That's how I felt about Ellie, but I'm kind of getting more and more that she kind of does know what she's doing and she has put a lot of time and polish into it.
I'm still waiting, but you know what? life is hard.
I mean, she's only 21, so yeah. It'd be weird if she didn't have a lot more to do.
She has the look down. She has the clothes down. She has, the makeup down. It's just like, what does she want to talk about? Like, what does Ellie Diamond do successfully?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Did she come from a social media background primarily again? I can't remember.
I think she comes from a performance background-ish.
Does she know that?
Well,
I like her a lot, but like she's not giving me much performance yet. Although they did love that in the girl group challenge, she's one who got some high marks.
Yeah, but so Scotland is a smaller country, and according to Lawrence, like the city that Lawrence,
Glasgow.
I think he's from Glasgow, so there are a lot of drag queens in Glasgow, and then apparently there are also a lot of drag queens in Dundee. The problem is, like, for Glasgow in particular, they're like 200 queens for like 3 bars or something like that. So it's very competitive. So I guess like with Ellie, it's kind of like a similar thing. Like there are other drag queens like in the vicinity. And so she's good for like her crew, but it's also like a smaller town kind of situation. And I think that's what we're missing. You know what I mean? Like she's like the best of like a small bunch, competitive though. So she has the polish, but like, I don't know if there are, you know, like Lawrence is like seasoned, you know?
And so young, but still seasoned. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Has at least 3 years on Ellie, right? Performance wise, drag wise.
And is a full-time drag queen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like,
not working at the drive through. Yeah.
Which is no shame. Everyone needs a day job. I'm so proud of Ellie for the drive through.
But if you are in a position where you're forced to kind of split your time and your focus, you know, that just kind of may be a side effect.
I just really feel like 2 more years and Ellie would be like great.
Yeah.
And I think what is that, what I think it comes back to is we're saying before is that like Lauren Chaney knows who Lauren Chaney is really, really, really well. And so even though they're similar in age, and yes, Lawrence has a couple more years on Ellie, I think that then during that time too, that Lawrence has figured out exactly. Mm. But I think Ellie's close to figuring out who Ellie Diamond is. Cause there's, I mean, like, cause her looks are always pretty consistent, like her makeup, like, and they've always praised her and how she paints and things like that.
She knows. Yeah. Raven complimented Ellie Diamond's makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, oh my God, Raven is a goddess. RuPaul has an indentured servant doing her makeup because Raven was wasting her goddamn time. She looked so... Raven walked out there being like, this is drag.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Do they ever ask her to bring looks?
What do you mean? For Ru?
That's what she was wearing to work that day.
Yeah.
I think they had a different, like, part of it was, like, I wonder if, like, whenever they have, like, Raven for walkthroughs, it's because they, like, had someone cans and, like, Raven, you're doing the walkthrough. You're on in five.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It had to be people who were already there for the pandemic.
She's never looked better. Like, literally, like, it's like we blinked and she looks just as she did when, just as good as she did when she was on, if not better. And yeah. I hope this means that we're going to get to see her compete again because I need
make
Raven
her a long-term
back.
Judge again. I love how, like, one of my favorite things I mentioned about Canada is that we had, like, a, like, practicing drag queen on the panel. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have a practicing drag queen, like, Raven on the panel eventually.
I've wondered why we don't have winners as judges sometimes or something like that, because I feel like they would bring such an interesting and, like, seasoned opinion to it.
RuPaul would never.
Right?
She's the drag queen on the panel.
There's a block. RuPaul's gonna have to die and then they'll let Bob take over and then Bob will have winners on.
It'll be Bob, Trixie, and Katya. And then Raven and Raven, like Canada style. Raven and Raja will alternate for fashion.
Jonathan, mm-hmm. You're right there. Like, she is the drag queen on, so she wouldn't have others.
Expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though
she hasn't painted her face in years or got herself dressed in years.
Who does her makeup? Is it Raven?
Raven does her makeup.
Rue looks so good in season 12 in the U.S. Like,
absolutely.
I'm like, damn, like, they stepped her pussy up real good.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's like, you can tell that Raven is just killing it. And Raven knows how to do black people, which is a skill that not every makeup artist has.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Raven has gotten some pushback for how dark she paints herself.
Interesting.
Well, this is why she paints black people so well. So
it's vicarious for her.
All those people to just, you know, whatever off. So I have one last question. Do you think that Taste did the Brillo pad thing on purpose and was just like, I'm gonna lip sync because I can't do fashion?
That's hilarious.
Wow, that's a theory.
No, she super tried. But
I don't think so. I mean, she made like a bikini so that she could still lip sync comfortably in her outfit and not be constricted.
Wow.
I think she really was trying her best and she's not a designer and a whore was not helping her.
Well,
I think she really tried and it's not her strong suit.
That's an interesting theory.
I want to give her the credit because it was like that outfit compared to the lip sync. It was like she put all her eggs were in that basket.
Yeah.
You make a good point that maybe there was some like strategery afoot though, because we even had Bemini like when she was kind of crapping on her outfit, which I agree, Nick, from your recap, like Bemini should have been bottom three, not like Lawrence pulled out a pretty good look. That was I was like, okay, like whatever. But Bemini said at one point, like when she wasn't feeling confident in her look, she's like, I better, like, this is like 20 minutes in the episode. She's like, I better start working on my lip sync. And so I think there might be something there where, like, if Taste is just like, all right, I'm like, I'll put something together, but I'm planning on just lip sync assassinating whoever is in the bottom with me.
I know,
but create a name for herself doing from her memory.
From what?
From her memory. Lip sync.
Yeah. But the other funny thing is, like, I think with those two repeater badges on her nipples, Bimini was like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I was waiting for it, and that was great. I loved that.
She was just like, you know, it's been a really nice competition, gals. Why don't y'all catch up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that said, her look was horrible.
I know. Who do you think can take the crown?
I feel like it's still Lawrence's. I could maybe see Ahura, but or Bimini.
One person.
Fine.
It's a good top three, though.
Yeah.
I think Lauren still. Mm-hmm. Rue loves her.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick's like, I'm just going to say yes.
Oh, well, I already did it in my recap, but I'll say it again. Yeah. Okay, Lawrence Cheney. Lawrence Cheney is still my number one. Okay. I think she's the most versatile. Yeah, strongest.
From the sound of it, who do you think sounds like the winner?
This Lawrence person.
I agree. I mean, honestly, like, it seems to be Lawrence for the taking. But don't you... Don't sleep on Bimini.
I mean, Bimini's funny as fuck, as we saw from Snatch Game. I could see her crushing the stand-up challenge and getting her third badge. If Bimini won, like, a big thing I think about is, like, what's a queen we've never seen win before? We haven't seen a queen like Bimini win ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I would be happy with Lawrence or Bimini winning, honestly. Yeah. They are my top two choices.
Like, actual, like, and unique queens with, like, specific points of view. Yeah.
Who do something different. I think Bimini's even more different, so that would be even more of maybe a gag, but yeah.
Into it. Okay, cool. Oh, God. So, you guys, we have to end the podcast, but... Oh, my God. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I have my week, and then I have my podcast Kiki, and this is, like, the brunch that I need.
Mm-hmm. It's like the little weekend ender. Yeah. Until we can actually be at brunch. One of these days.
Like a mimosa. We need to maybe potentially, like, add mimosas to the podcast.
Oh, there you go. Then it'll be like
an untucked. That's great. Yeah, I think that's great. That's a great idea.
Oh my gosh.
But... I am, like, I mean, looking forward to / not looking forward to the vaccine only parties or the vaccine only get togethers where it's only your friends who've been vaccinated, who've gotten both shots.
I didn't know about that.
Because all the ones I won't be invited to, or all the ones I'm going to host.
I have a medical condition where I can't take vaccines because, you know, I like cheese. So am I still invited? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to cancel?
Yeah. You'll be the one we point and laugh at. Look at that. Somebody without a vaccine.
Oh, my God.
Bring the yacht around.
Okay, before all the vaxxers start coming for us, Griffin, we love you. We need you in our lives. How can everyone find you, stalk you in a way that you consent?
I make it very user-friendly. My handle on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Venmo is Griffin Leeds. And as I said earlier, I'll be kicking off the first of this Zoom live comedy show, Near Far Wherever You Are, with my roommate Alex Kennedy at the end of March. I believe it's the 27th, a Saturday. And just in general, once, you know, we are back in the real world, you can, you know, find out about other live shows and other projects and stuff I'll be able to get back into there as well.
Amazing.
Thank you again for having me.
Yeah, and send us links and details so we can help promote when, like, closer to the date. Jonathan, I mean, I feel like you're always with me because I follow you on everything that I can possibly. And I love your fashion commentary. If anyone, like, just go into the magazines and look for Jonathan Valdez giving some Fashion Police commentary, and he is there for you. He is bringing it. He's doing the work that we need to do. But how can they find you, stalk you in a consensual manner?
No, I was saying that I go there so you don't have to. And thank you for the compliment. So it's orangejuiceandbiscuits.com is the easiest, because then you can find everything there. But then I have OJMB the podcast, and it's Jonathan R. Valdez on Instagram. And I wasn't able to get all platforms like Griffin because, you know, everybody ain't able. Or
I mean, neither were we, Hunty Whispering on Twitter, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I wish there was a way you can combat it, because someone's sitting on my name. But anyway.
I hate that name squatters.
What are you supposed to message them and, like, pay them?
Literally, that is what happens.
Because Jonathan Valdez on Instagram has been dormant for years, darling, and like zero everything. But anyway, so it's Jonathan R. Valdez Instagram, Jonathan Valdez Twitter, and then, of course, you know, just orangejuiceandbiscuits.com. Mm-hmm. You can find all sorts of things. And then mm-hmm. I have a, if you click on my link, I have like a link tree. So, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. And I'll get into link trees because they save so much time and energy. Can you imagine like updating your Instagram? Because like, you know, when you're like dropping links on Instagram, remember how hard that was to do? And then Linktree came along and they just rocked your damn world. Mm.
I just got one. I was kind of nervous to get one, but I'm glad that I did.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Are you new to the Linktree?
Saves so much paper too.
Yes.
So stupid.
I know.
Edit that out. Okay.
No, I'm leaving it in. Okay. Listeners, thank you for coming on this journey with us. Please remember to like, subscribe, follow everyone here. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts because it helps a lot. And tip a drag queen, donate to Texas. That is still a thing. And hug someone that you can do without spreading corona. And also call someone and tell them that they're special, you love them, and have a kiki. Because
just dial a random number into your phone.
Well, someone.
And be like, let's kiki.
Hey.
Let's have a kiki.
You're special.
All right. Well, till the next week, guys. Bye.
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 Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World of Wonder, VH1, ICOM, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, all music are registered trademarks and or copyrights to their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.